Hi, and welcome to Zed Games. Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane and broadcast nationally over the Community Radio Network, Zed Games brings you the latest gaming news, reviews, and interviews from across Australia and around the world.
Good evening, greetings, and welcome to another exciting episode of Zed Games. My name's Razor. I've been resurrected from a debilitating illness, and I am back again for another week. Thanks to my co-host for holding the fort for me while I was gone. This is Zed Games, and it is heard in Brisbane on 4ZZZ, thanks to the magic of FM broadcasting, and around Australia, thanks to the Community Radio Network. And I am joined by my lovable co-hosts, firstly, Mr. Lee.
Hello, hello.
The four-year veteran of this program.
That would be me.
Ms. Candy Payne.
Hi, everyone.
And Jody McGregor.
Hi, it's good to have you breathing again.
Yes, breathing is good.
Always a bonus.
All right, on this episode, we have a review of OTTT.
D.
You were so close.
I thought you were going to say another T, and I was like, over the top towered tower.
That's like two T's too many. So it's called Over the Top Tower Defense, and right. Jody and Lee have been playing that game. Mm-hmm. We also have a couple of special guests, Shireen and John from Go Play. That's a convention that's happening in a couple of weeks, so we'll be hearing all about that later in the episode. But let's kick this episode off with the weekend gaming news headlines, Miss Candy Payne.
Thank you, Razor. Activision has resurrected the Sierra Games label and will launch a sequel to the classic adventure game King's Quest as its first project. A press release said that the Sierra label will be used as a gateway to deliver smaller, indie-friendly games. A new Geometry Wars game was also announced.
So this is King's Quest 9, right? Is that they made like 8 of them?
They had a 9, didn't they?
Really?
Yeah.
It's a pretty high number, though. I mean, they churned out quite a lot of them back in the day.
Yes, they did. Yeah, over a long period of time as well, so you kind of saw every point in the development of PC gaming was covered off there. The last one being a really, really dodgy third-person action-adventure game as well.
Right, but now it sounds like they're going back.
Yeah,
to,
but it's the team that did the last game. Actually, their last game was that weird ghost thing.
Wayward Manor.
Yes, with Neil Gaiman writing it. And the one before that was the very twee Victorian gentleman who travels through time and is a platforming thing where you would travel back in time and jump on your own top hat in order to proceed, that sort of thing. So,
They're amazing.
Yeah. So it's really weird.
Good luck to them living up to that legacy.
Yeah, of the...
of cranky old gamer favorites that maybe weren't all that good at the time.
Yeah. Sierra, I think we've got a slightly different opinion of them this far along the track now.
EA Access, a subscription service for the Xbox One, has launched in Australia this week. For $6.99 a month or $39.99 a year, users will get discounts and early demo-like access to select EA titles, as well as the ability to play full games, including Battlefield 4, Peggle 2, FIFA 14, and Madden 25. Speaking of lots of games, 25.
I don't really like this business, gotta say. Okay. What do you guys think about EA Access?
I think it's a limited for the amount that you're paying. I don't like the idea of renting games in general, and this is taking us further down that track.
I don't really mind that much. Like PS Plus, which I pay for each year, is doing well by me. I get a lot of free games, and that's fine. I don't like the idea that this sort of potentially opens up the floodgates for other developers to offer their own services, which in turn diminish the value of our existing services like Games with Gold and PS Plus. I mean, do you think that we're going to see EA games with Games with Gold anymore?
Yeah.
Probably not.
That's the thing.
Because what's the incentive for them to provide it there? So the Games with Gold service is already devalued.
Yeah,
you might be missing out on Peggle 2, man.
Yeah, look,
damn.
I don't care. Like, all of those games that they've got for free, they're a crap, in my opinion. Battlefield 4, I would play.
And this is what it comes down to. That's your reasons. The late Robin Williams will be memorialised in the popular MMO World of Warcraft following a petition on Change.org. A spokesperson for Blizzard confirmed that they would pay tribute to the actor and comedian with an NPC in the game. Williams was an avid gamer and often spoke about playing World of Warcraft and other fantasy games, and even named his first daughter Zelda.
He was a big Warhammer fan as well. I know guys in America who worked in a game shop, and he came into their game shop to buy stuff, and they were as ecstatic as it is possible to be. And they said he was lovely.
Yeah.
I was reading the Ask Me Anything that he did over the yesterday. I was reading it yesterday. He didn't do it then. He says that he has multiple Warhammer armies, but he had never played before. He just really liked collecting them.
Mm.
So, yeah. Jody just shed a single tear.
Aww.
Gamescom, one of the world's largest gaming trade fairs, is happening this week in Cologne, Germany. Sony and Microsoft have both held press conferences and made plenty of announcements. Rise of the Tomb Raider, the follow-up to last year's terrific adventure game, will be an Xbox One exclusive set for launch at the end of 2015. A spokesperson for developer Crystal Dynamics explained that this move did not mean they were turning their backs on PlayStation and PC gamers, drawing attention to the fact that Tomb Raider Definitive Edition was available on PS4 and also the upcoming release of Lara Croft and the Temple of Osiris.
Nope.
Yeah, I'm a bit dirty about this. As someone who does not own an Xbox One, and you know, I don't have an intention to buy one in the near future, I can't help but feel a little bit betrayed by Square Enix in this matter here. Let's ignore the fact that Tomb Raider, you know, 1, 2, and 3 were PlayStation exclusives, and that the franchise was built, you know, on the love of the PlayStation console.
Well, they were PC games before they became PlayStation exclusives. This isn't coming to PC at all. Are we not past the era of the console exclusive title now, surely?
We might be just ushering in a new era of, you know, even bigger game exclusive titles. Because, I don't know, what reason is there to nab Tomb Raider as an exclusive?
Yeah.
It's dodgy. I mean, they built up a fan base with the last reboot that came out last year and was awesome. And now they're just saying, you know, screw you to everyone who bought it that isn't an Xbox gamer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look, give it 6 months, 12 months, you'll probably be able to buy the super deluxe version of it on your PlayStation 4 with all the downloadable content attached. Exclusive is not a word that has a sturdy meaning anymore in this industry either.
Two new Xbox One bundles were announced, both of which do not include the Kinect motion sensing peripheral. The first is a Sunset Overdrive bundle featuring the game and a white Xbox One console, and the second was a Call of Duty Advanced Warfare bundle that will come with a 1 terabyte hard drive. Both will be available early November.
So you can just buy one of those, Ray. You'll be fine.
Oh. And it's white. Bonus.
I've got to say, like, the bro in me looking at that Call of Duty Advanced Warfare 1. It's pretty sweet. With the 1 terabyte hard drive, and it's all grey and it looks all mechanical. Yeah, there's like a little tiny part of me that goes, hell yeah, I gotta get that.
That's the bro.
My inner bro.
The inner bro talks like that. That's great. A beta for Evolve, the 4v1 monster hunting game from the team behind Left 4 Dead, will run for the Xbox One in January. Sony announced that they have sold through over 10 million PlayStation 4 consoles to consumers in only 9 months.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Significant.
That's huge.
Popular multiplayer zombie survival game DayZ is coming for the PS4. I feel like I said that wrong. It's not DayZ like little flower. It's DayZ. DayZ, you know, letter. Just to clarify, it's not DayZ's. PlayStation TV will launch in Australia later this year for $150. The device is essentially a PlayStation Vita console redesigned as a set-top box that will allow you to play games from the Vita, PS1 and PSP library, as well as the ability to access the PlayStation Now streaming service and act as a satellite for your PS4.
How do we feel about the PlayStation TV concept?
I'm not terribly excited.
That's because you have everything else that this thing does already, so you're fine.
Mm-hmm. I think, look, it is pretty cool if you don't have a PlayStation Vita already. Mm. It'll allow you to use the PlayStation Now service, you know, pending the fact that it works in Australia, which we don't know. Yeah, and the ability to play your PlayStation 4 on two TVs in the house is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's true. Or you could just move it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who wants to do that? I mean, you could move it or you could pay $150, which do you prefer, Lee?
Good point. You've got me there.
Lazy. Lazy. Little Big Planet developer Media Molecule will bring the delightful PlayStation Vita platformer Tearaway to PlayStation 4. This version will be called Tearaway Unfolded.
I've just got to jump in here because I was actually looking forward to Gamescom because I was hoping for some PlayStation Vita exclusives. I am a PlayStation Vita owner. And
you are the only one.
Yeah.
You are the PlayStation.
And do you know how many PlayStation Vita exclusives we got? Negative one.
Oh, no.
We actually lost an exclusive. So, yeah, thanks a lot. That's worse than zero.
I'm not even going to ask. Devil May Cry and Heavenly Sword studio Ninja Theory is working on a first to PS4 game called Hellblade.
I saw the trailer for that. It has someone with a sword. That looks, you know, they're working in their field.
I think it's a blade.
They've got a niche.
Yeah.
These guys, man, and their names of games. Okay, we've done Heavenly Sword. What are we going to do next?
Hellblade. It's like the opposite. Yeah. To get it?
Yeah.
Up, down. Yeah.
Next, Purgatory Knife.
And the last announcement was a new Silent Hill game was announced with Hideo Kojima, creator of the Metal Gear Solid series, and Guillermo del Toro, director of Pacific Rim and Pan's Labyrinth. Actor Norman Reedus, best known as Daryl from the Walking Dead TV series, will star in the game to be called Silent Hills.
That's going to be very weird. I have no idea. Like, what is the common ground between Guillermo del Toro and Hideo Kojima exactly?
God knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Strange is what's going to happen out of this. There's no way this is not going to be supremely weird.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's Silent Hill, so that's all fine, right?
Yeah.
Hills.
Yeah.
Silent Hills, whatever.
It's plural now. Yeah. There's more than one hill.
It looks way too scary for me.
Of course. I knew you were going to say that.
I saw that, like,
two-minute
trailer. I was like, I don't know if I can watch till the end.
Oh, chicken.
So, Jody is our resident scholar in the field of Silent Hill. Are you intrigued by this? Are you looking forward to it?
Yes, I am. I'm intrigued enough that I didn't actually watch the entire trailer, not because I was scared, but because I didn't want to spoil it.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you're going to go in completely cold.
I think it's the best way with horror games.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for this week's news headlines. Coming up, we're going to be talking to the dudes from GoPlay. Yes. At the start
Good
of the
save.
Show... cheers. At the start of the show, we heard A Short Change Hero by The Heavy. That was, of course, the theme song to Borderlands 2. And what have we got next up, Jody?
Some K-pop. This is FX with Rum Pum Pum Pum. Hello and welcome back to Zed Games. You just heard FX with Rum Pum Pum Pum. Now, in the studio with us, we've got two guests. We've got two of the organizers of the GoPlay Brisbane convention, which is a tabletop convention. Welcome to the show, John and Shireen.
Thanks so much for having us, and a happy Echo Holiday to you guys.
Yeah. Hello indeed.
So tell us a little bit about the GoPlay convention. What kind of gaming are you focusing on?
Radio. Well, GoPlay, we put it forward as a fantastic 2 days of gaming, and it covers it creates a chance where gamers can come together and play great tabletop role-playing games, board games, and we've even added a LARP this time around. It's a wonderful chance for both experienced gamers to come and strut their stuff, and for people who've never played this kind of thing before to come and find out just how fun it is, and it's completely free.
Cool. So people can either book in advance if there's like a specific game they want to play, or can they just rock up on the day and try something new out?
It's a little bit of both. We've got a Warhorn pre-registration site where you can go through the games and put your name down for empty spots if they're there. But there's normally something happening that you can just turn up on the day, see if there's a vacant spot, pick up a board game, see if there's a vacant GM who's looking to run a game. We're pretty casual about the whole thing, if we can be.
Right. So if somebody's never played a role-playing game before, like if they know what Dungeons & Dragons is from that one episode of Community, and that's about it, can they show up and find out what it's actually like?
Absolutely. We've worked to create a culture where it's a really soft and gentle landing for someone to try something new. And we've got some GMs who are excellent at that kind of thing. And because we have so many GMs lining up to run games, the role-playing games, we can point you towards something which really is just about the story. You don't have to worry about fiddly rules. And that's always the best stuff, where it's all about story. The dice and the rules, they're just sort of unnecessary byproducts that help us keep things moving. If the story's cool, you're going to have a good time.
If I walk into the room, is that going to be obvious which table I should be sitting at as, like, the ultimate beginner person in the room? Or am I going to sit down and realise I'm with a bunch of really advanced players and then I'm just totally humiliated? Is there, like, a learner section?
I don't think you'd be totally humiliated with any of the gaming guys, actually. It's because it is very much, everyone knows that there'll be people who've never picked up a dice before and there'll be people who have read every book ever written. There's always a nice mix. And if you really are uncertain, you can normally ask one of the storytellers or GMs, whatever you care to call them, and they'll let you know whether it might be a game that you're going to maybe struggle with, or, you know, if they can help you through it, they'll certainly do that normally.
I feel better if I show up. That's good. That's good.
So what specific games will you have on offer there?
Okay, well, how about we go through the role-playing games, the board games and the LARP. So with the role-playing games, we've got a morning and afternoon session on the Saturday, the 23rd of August, and there'll be stuff like D&D, big names like Star Wars and things like that to play. Going down to a guy's running a sequel to The Thing, the John Carpenter film.
Nice.
Cool.
And
I really want to play that.
Yeah, there's just not enough time, is there? And the zaniest one I think we've got this time around is a game called Everyone is John, where the players play the different voices vying for control of a madman.
Right. Now, your name is John.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you create this game?
I'm in charge so far. We'll see what happens. Then we've got board games. Lots of great board games that if you haven't played a board game since playing Monopoly with your family and hating every 6 hours of it, things have come a long way. There are some really great games out there. Like one of my personal favourites is a game called Pandemic, where you're playing people from the CDC battling four massive diseases, running around the world trying to stop it from getting out of hand.
Timely as well. Yeah.
Oh, yes. It crossed my mind. Yeah. And what's great about that one, too, is that you're not playing against each other, you're playing against the game, so it's completely collaborative and takes away that awful feeling of they've got Mayfair, I'm having a bad time, and this is still going to be 4 hours. No. So super fun.
So either you all win or you all die of Ebola.
You all die horribly most of the time, I'm afraid.
It's true.
But it's fun doing that. And then we have the LARP.
Yeah. Yep.
Tell us about the LARP.
Well, this year's LARP is a Warhammer-based one. The historical Warhammer, so lots of old-school dwarves and elves and things, all set in a tavern. As a general rule, a LARP is a lot like an improvised theatre, except you all have your own pre-written character with your own goals that you have to try and achieve throughout the game. There's a storyteller who helps run the game, adjudicates any conflicts, and that's a non-hitting conflict. So there's no bashing or stabbing, unfortunately. I like to play with swords a lot, so... You know. But leaving that aside, yeah, it's a lot of fun, and you get to tell a story, try and uncover the hidden plot quite often. The game we're playing is just a one-off. There is also a very big LARPing scene in Brisbane. They do continuous games that actually link in with worldwide games as well. And if you're interested in those sort of things, more than happy to hook you up if you come along to go play or hop onto our website.
What's the setup for this kind of thing? Like, how many people are you expecting to show up, and what's the actual capacity for this as well?
What we usually get is somewhere between about 40 and 60 people. And we used to be just a tiny little group in the corner of the big gaming room out at Ace Comics and Games in Annerley. But now we've taken over the entire gaming room for one day, and we've got another one which we're half filling up with board games this time around. We're continuing to grow. It's just fantastic. But, yeah, that's the thing. Big room full of people doing role-playing games, big room full of people playing board games, and then on Sunday the 24th, you've got a lovely room up the top of the nearby hotel where everyone will be dressing up and LARPing.
Cool.
So dressing up is a big part of the LARP, then?
It can be, depending on the LARP. Certainly costuming is encouraged because it gives you that immersive feeling. But we don't ask people to, you know, come out with their best. Even if, you know, you want to come along and you haven't got anything, yeah, just put your hand up and say, can someone help me with something? And someone will probably bring something along for you. It's not the important thing. The important thing is is the fun, the conversations, the plot solving, and the dreadful overacting at times.
That scenery won't eat itself.
Please tell me this is being filmed first for some kind of video watching later.
No filming will be done at the LARP at all.
No.
Just saying that right now, because I'm going to be there and I don't want me on film wearing a dwarf beard.
It could look good.
It could, but I haven't got long to make it now, so...
No.
Yep. Can I just selfishly ask a few questions for my own benefit?
No.
Lee introduced me to a cool game called Deadlands over the weekend. Is that happening this time?
It so is, actually. We've got got one running. It's going to be...
Afternoon.
Absolutely. And there'll be... A group of characters will be hired to investigate a deserted mine by a company man with a shady past.
Sweet.
Strangeness in the Weird West will follow.
Yeah. Mm. I played this once years ago. It's like cowboys and zombies.
That's the one.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, you know, people who use gambling for magic. And, it's a really fun mix-up, the Deadlands world. Mm. You can just go in with your cowboy accent and everything else will sort itself out.
I'm a big fan of bringing along a hat and wearing that and feeling really cowboy at that sort of thing.
Jody looks good in a cowboy hat.
Ray owns a cowboy hat.
And the boots, Scootin' boots?
No boots, unfortunately. Mm. Yeah, we'll see, though. There is still time to get some before the event, though.
That's right.
Yeah. So where can we get details online if we want to pre-register or get more information about the specific games you guys will be playing there?
Best place to go is to our Facebook site, which is at facebook.com/goplaybrisbane. Everything radiates out from there.
Yep. Oh, yep. And again, that's happening at Ace Comics Annaly on the 23rd?
The 23rd and the 24th.
Awesome.
So on the 23rd, the Saturday, we've got the role-playing games and the board games. And on the 24th, the Sunday, that's the LARP day.
It starts at about 9 o'clock. We'd recommend getting there at about 1:45 so you can sort of find empty games, meet people, that sort of thing. Totally free, and you don't actually have to book. You can just rock up on the day if you're not sure whether you want to come.
Cool. Very cool. Guys, thank you very much for joining us on Zed Games today. And we'll probably catch you on the day we can make it.
Yeah. Ray will be wearing his hat.
Yeah, I'll bring my hat
along. The pub afterwards. Beer and rations afterwards is very important as well. Always.
All right. Thanks again. Now, Jody, we have some music to play before the next segment. What have we got here?
This is DZ Death Rays with Less Out of Sync.
Alrighty, you are listening to Zed Games. Razor, Lee, Jody, and Miss Candy Payne with you tonight. You're listening to Triple Zed, and it's 6:37. Hope you're doing well. Now, these guys have been playing a game on the computer. It's a computer game.
Yeah.
We cover those.
It's got a lot of O's and T's and D's in it.
Okay,
right?
I'm going to get this one. O T T T D.
Yes.
Yay!
Which stands for Over the Top Tower Defense.
Yes.
Well,
and is it officially out or is it in early access?
It's officially out. Yeah. It was released last week on PC via Steam, and it actually came out a couple of months ago on mobile and tablet as well. And it sort of made its way to PC just now, and we have been playing it. It's a tower defense game like Kingdom Rush or all of those games where you build a bunch of turrets and then waves and waves of enemies come towards you following a path, and you mow them down with your machine gun turrets and your rocket turrets.
Yes.
Where it gets over the top is in how many of those enemies they are and how weird they are.
Yes.
Like, the thing that I like about this game is the design of the enemies, because they are bat poop crazy.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's...
Bat what crazy?
Poop.
Bat poop crazy. Don't say it again, it's making me laugh.
The idea is it's set in the future, and you're preemptively invading other dimensions to find people to fight because all of the other wars are over. So one dimension, for instance, is full of crabs, like steampunk crabs,
yeah,
who have cannon and tanks, and there are octopuses who ride motorbikes.
Yeah.
And then you go from there to the horror dimension, which is like bouncing eyeballs, floating skulls, zombies, and giant cactus men.
Razor just shivered.
My favorite thing with the Halloween level is that when the giant floating eyeballs get armored up, they just have glasses.
Yeah, they've got like goggles.
Yeah.
And they're just bouncing down the road towards you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're preemptively invading other dimensions to recruit for your army.
No. You're starting shit. That's what
you're just a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And invading your own dimension is not enough, so you have to find other dimensions to go mess stuff up.
Well, you sold war in your own dimension because you won them all.
So you're starting it in another.
Yes.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, you run Hero Corp, which is like this future cloned soldiers and weapons development company, and peace has broken out, so you've got nothing better to do. Like, you have to justify your budget somehow, so you preemptively defend by building huge gun turrets all over alien dimensions.
Like, what if those guys broke out of the Hell Halloween dimension, right? Mm-hmm. We'd be in all kinds of trouble.
Yeah.
So. Is it an allegory for... you know, a certain country?
Now, we don't deal in allegory here, nor do we have any understanding of them. So if you read anything into this text, that's your problem.
We play video games. We don't understand metaphors.
Yeah.
The other thing that makes it OTTTD different from most other tower defense games is that you have heroes. You have these cloned soldiers who are a little bit, like, their personalities remind me of the mercenaries from Team Fortress 2.
Yeah.
And you move them around between your towers. So you're not just sitting there waiting for endless waves of enemies to throw themselves against your machine guns and missile launchers. You actually have little guys with different powers to run around between the towers to repair them and to activate their abilities and shoot bad guys. There's, like, an engineer who's good at repairing. There's a scientist who can clone himself and make, like, angrier versions of himself that run around shooting stuff up. There's, like, an assault guy who sounds and looks like Arnie.
Yeah.
A rocket pack guy. They're all dudes.
Yeah. The sniper, yeah, the snipers as well. Yes, they are. And they're interesting because while you move them around and you control where they go, just like the towers, you don't have any direct control over what they shoot, so you have to just determine where would be the best place for them to be, you know, doing their thing. But it's great because it gives you something to do in the game. A lot of the other tower defense games are a little bit passive, where you spend a lot of time building initially, and then if that works, then the game just plays itself until you've won. But here you have another unit or a handful of them to manage, which I think smooths out the experience quite a bit.
Yeah, it does stop it from being quite so boring, and I do find tower defense games pretty boring as a whole.
Yeah, like I like them. I like the idea of building a machine designed to kill my enemies, and that point where you've perfected that and you've got the exact right combination of towers and turrets and things, like, that's all really great. But then all you have to do once that's done is sit back and watch the bullets fly.
Mm. Actually, watching the bullets fly reminds me of the other thing I like about OTTTD, which is the gore.
Yeah.
Just bones and lumps of flesh and blood fly out of everything you shoot. And by the end of the level, you cannot see the ground.
Yeah.
It's just like piles of gunk and ribcages.
On a scale of 1 to 10, when you say gore, is there just a lot of it? Or is it like super scary, gross look at? Like visually really gory or just lots of bones?
It's very cartoony.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like the bones a cartoon dog would eat.
So this is okay for you, Razor.
That you shot off a tank.
You can play this then.
Actually, I'm intrigued. I think this sounds great. I mean, you get to invade other dimensions. You get to like have like dudes that just mow down other dudes and
bouncing eyeballs,
octopuses.
Yes.
On motorbikes.
Yeah.
This is stupid.
No, it's octopuses.
It is octopuses.
Yeah, is it octopi?
No, we don't speak Latin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That tripped me up a bit.
So the you discuss the endless piles of gore, and it's really great. It does look like, you know, when you do the seaside missions towards the end, it's just the factory floor of the tuna processing plant, because it is just,
yes,
it's just eyes and pink mush everywhere. And that is, I think, I really enjoy the aesthetic of this game. Like, it is cartoony, and everything is very, very chunky and stylized, and everything animates well. It is a pleasant thing to watch, you know. It's the setting is there's a lot of big, bright, smooth colors and not too much textural detail, but it all just really works really well.
Have you both been playing this on PC, sorry?
Yeah.
Yes.
And you said there was a mobile version?
That's right.
Does it differ aesthetically on the mobile version? Have they had to change much to fit it into a small screen?
It's same.
No, yeah. the levels are very small. Yeah. Like playing it on a PC, you move your mouse around and you're like, oh, that's the edge.
Yeah.
They're tiny. You can tell the initial development was for mobile.
When it was for that first. Okay.
Yeah, you zoom out and you're like, oh, that's it.
Yeah,
the levels are quite small, which I found a bit disappointing. It does mean that it feels samey because you're in constrained areas, so you get very used to them.
Yeah.
And there are essentially only two different kinds of level, the horror level and the crab level. And you just sort of switch between them with slightly different roads.
Oh, yeah.
And you slowly unlock more heroes and more varieties of tower. But the thing that I found a bit disappointing about it the longer I played was it started to feel quite samey.
Yeah, considering that it is over-the-top tower defense, I was expecting that there would be a bit more variety in the things that I was mowing down, and that never really came up. Like, initially, you're like, oh, wow, look at this amazing variety of weird crab thing and fish creature, and, oh, actually, they've kind of front-loaded it. There's everything already.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, I definitely felt the same.
Yeah. Would you try it on a mobile device and to see if it feels different? Does that make sense? Like, given that you've just explained that it feels a bit small on a PC screen, would you try it on a mobile and just see if you enjoy it slightly more and if it feels different and if you don't feel that you're so contained in a smaller area?
I think tablet would be the perfect size for this. If I owned one, that's what I would play it on. I think on my mobile it might feel a bit like the screen was too small for moving guys exactly where I want to move them.
Chunky fingers.
Yeah, I like the... The control scheme that they've got is really elegant and does obviously come out of the fact that it is a touch device initially. So you don't all you're doing is repositioning guys. So everything is all, you know, single click based, and it works really, really well. But I think that the length of the missions would actually be a bit of an impediment on the tablet because each mission seems to take slightly too long to complete, and what you want for something like that is you want to be able to do it in a bite-sized kind of thing. You want it, this is a bathroom break kind of game,
right.
And you would have some sort of irritable bowel syndrome if you were having to play through the entire, like, however long the missions actually are for that.
But if you did have irritable bowel syndrome...
Well, this is the game for you.
But that's going to be on the box.
That's not a box quote for them. No, no. So we should mention also that Over the Top Tower Defense was actually the last game that was funded through the Screen Arts funding.
Mm.
So they've got a lot of pressure on them, I think.
Poor guys.
Yeah, I know, right? But it is, like, it's a really... I like it. I think there are limitations to it that irk me, but like it is a nice thing to play, and it's fun, and it's visually engaging, I want more content. I want it for there to be more stuff there, but everything's really polished, and
it's nice. Pretty cheap, right, on Steam for only $8?
Yes, yeah, about that.
Yeah, you can get it. I think it was on sale for $8. Now it's $9.
Yes.
You can get it on mobile and tablet for $5, but it has microtransactions as well on the tablet. So, like, you have gems that you can earn by doing levels, or if you have the mobile version, you can also buy them separately, and you can use those. Like, if one of your heroes dies, you can bring them back to life immediately with a gem, or you can wait 40 minutes for them to come back.
Oh, okay, yeah, I don't like that. So
I didn't think you would.
PC version for me then, I think.
The PC version gives you everything. You don't have to buy anything separately, but you still have that thing of having to spend a gem that you can earn from a level to clone someone immediately, or you can wait, which encourages you to use different heroes because you can only have 3 per level, but you wind up with like 8 of them.
Yeah.
So you wind up swapping them out if one dies.
Cool.
Hmm.
That is OTTTD, which you can get for the PC. And get it because it sounds good. I think I'm going to get it. All right, we're going to be back after this song. What have we got here, Jody?
This is Chris Remo with the 30 Flights of Loving main title.
You are listening to Zed Games, and that was Chris Remo with the 30 Flights of Loving main titles. I am Lee, and I am joined in the studio for this episode by Razor, Jody McGregor, and Ms. Candy Payne.
Hi.
So, over the weekend, we were invited to go see the Game On Symposium, which was hosted by the Brisbane chapter of the Independent Game Developers Association.
Yes.
They've had a number of these over the years, and they keep getting better. They're very, very good, particularly if you are a local developer or would love to be a local developer. It's a great opportunity to see what people are doing and also hear some of the stories of people who have been in the industry. Candy?
Yeah, so the 2 days followed. First, there was a lot of panel discussions, and you kind of met a lot of the big wigs in the industry, I guess, from universities, developers. There's a lot of... So it was really interesting. And the second day, there was a lot more workshops as well, so covering off on a lot of different topics. People could learn a lot. The part that I, of course, was most interested in was the open mic section. It's called open mic because essentially it's a room full of people showing off their games, and they are handed a microphone and given the chance to actually describe the game and introduce themselves, which is really nice to put faces to the names behind, and also just to the titles, you know, to the people that are working so hard in not such open and shareable spaces. So it's really nice to have them out in the open to see what they're at home working on all the time. So so that was really good. There were some really interesting games.
Mm. Yeah, what was the most memorable one?
You know what? The most memorable one, and I apologise for not knowing the names. It was a... this is terrible. I had all their business cards and stuff. It was a game about... It was poetry. It was a poetry game. But it was this strangest thing. It was kind of... When I sat down to play, there is a cartoon kind of scratchy scribble-looking bat that you essentially are flying through sentences and words. And every time you fly through these things, you have to get from one side of the screen to the other with these words as obstacles in the way. And I'm not going to lie, I didn't get the point of the game, but there was something that I just... I know, before you laugh... Hell of a plug. It actually was really interesting, and I sat there for about 25 minutes to the point that I didn't even realise the rest of my radio crew here had walked out because I was still sitting here playing this awesome game where every time you run into these words, yeah, you just left me there with my headphones on. Well, but you get these amazing soundscape, and there was just something so intriguing about these noises that I kept flying this little kind of shaky line-drawn bat into words to see what noises and sound effects I got when I hit the sentences, and it kind of... I don't know. It was very memorable to me, and I do apologise for not knowing the proper name.
It was memorable up to a point.
It was. I have their card. I left my bag at home.
Thanks, Candy.
But no, it was really good, and I would love to know more from this team. Lockie Toe, I think. Lockie Toe was their name. I would love to get more information on that one and to see where it goes to, because there was sort of only one level to play. But it was the sounds. There was something about these sounds and wearing the headphones, and it was just, really interesting to me.
On the subject of wearing headphones, I did see that you, Ray, got to try out an Oculus Rift.
Where did you see that?
On Lee's phone. You got to play Tail Drift, right?
Oh.
How'd you go this time? Still feel nauseous?
The experience was much worse from this time, actually.
It was fine. So you're like a little plane, and you have to follow a track, but it's on the Oculus Rift, which is the VR headset, of course. And what you do is you wear the Oculus Rift, and then you hold your hands sort of out like they're wings, and you have to tilt your body as though you're a plane, and that's how you shift the direction.
Yeah. I played this bit on the iPad that they had there, and it was super cute.
Yeah,
I actually loved it. I don't know how the hell you played that on the Rift then, because I felt seasick.
I think you're obliged to go vroom as you're playing it, right?
Oh, the best part about it is that it turns out that in order to use the speed boost, you've got to do a pelvic thrust.
Oh, what? This is brilliant.
Yeah, well...
But you should explain that the track is actually, it's a circular pipe that you're going around, so you're not just following, up and down, left and right. You're spinning round and round and round. So I imagine if you're flying, it's like you're doing one of those, the creative up-in-the-air planes that do all the big dives.
Yeah,
and
kind of like that.
Aerobatics, so kind of whatever.
It's very
no wonder you felt
full
sick.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess if you're prone to motion sickness, stick with the tablet version.
Even that, even that was making me dizzy. It was too much spinning. I was like, oh no, I'm going to go back to the poetry.
But apart from that, apart from the nauseating factor, maybe
it was cute.
It actually looks like a really solid game. It's really fun. It's great. And it looks great as well. Like it looks like a pro game,
and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Our friends at Disparity Games had Ninja Pizza Girl on show, and congrats to them for hitting their Kickstarter goal.
No pants, no pizza. I was walking around saying that all day. Yeah. It's cute.
Thanks a lot, guys. You've made candy even more obnoxious.
What? I always wear pants. I'm going to get my pizza. Yeah. It's great.
And Infinity Wars, those guys were there. We had a great chat with them. They've got a kind of a Magic the Gathering style card game, but it's got like a techno... they've kind of left the fantasy vibe at home, and they've gone with the sci-fi techno vibe, and that's pretty awesome. Instead of taking turns like in sequence, like most card games, you take turns at the same time, and that there's an added level of excitement there. So I'm looking forward to playing that.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's a gorgeous game. I made sure to download it as soon as I got home after the event. It was also nice to see Alex showing Malevolence, the Sword of Akronox, or I can never remember how that's pronounced.
Anyway, Akronox.
Akronox, yes. And he is getting excited about releasing an expansion pack for his endlessly generating RPG. So if you thought that his infinite role-playing game was not infinite enough, he's going to add an entire new level of infinity there for you. So, yes. Look out for that. He says he's adding a hell dimension.
Oh. Cool.
So he's adding infinite hell to his video game.
Great. I will die even quicker.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be more poison for me to get killed by.
Yes. Everything that you think is refreshing water is, in fact, poison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, it's really cool if you like those old school games like Might and Magic, those kind of role-playing ones that are isometric.
It's not.
Grid-based. What's that word I'm looking for?
That's grid-based.
Grid-based.
Grid-based, yep. Yeah. But, like these guys are talking about, it's infinite, so you never get... you never run out of places to explore. And it's kind of got a Dark Souls vibe. where you stumble upon, like, the remnants of other characters and other dead players, but you never actually see them physically in your world, but they're sort of echoes of past players that gives a really creepy, cool vibe like Dark Souls.
Yeah. So you guys had a good time.
Yeah, we had fun. What were you doing?
Working.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
And get this, downstairs in the car park underneath the exhibition, there was a DeLorean parked there.
You all saw my Instagram post.
Instagram post?
Whatever.
I saw this thing.
Yeah, he was there.
It was awesome. I took a...
So I don't know what awesome game developer in Brisbane has a DeLorean, but you're awesome.
We'd love to meet you, just the car. Bring the car in.
Let us go for a ride. Not only was it a DeLorean, but he had the rainbow hat and the sports almanac on his dashboard. So I'm pretty certain this was actually...
What a freaking hero.
Marty McFly.
But, well, Biff having stolen it.
I tell you what, unlike, what is it, May 11th, 2015, he's going to be the coolest dude in Brisbane for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you get it, Candy?
Yeah, I do, of course.
Yep.
Cool. Yeah, he'll be there with his hoverboard. Yep.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're just about out of time for this episode of Zed Games. Yep, got
it. Always sad.
Thanks again for listening, guys. We do have social media stuff happening. Jody, you know
we're
about that.
We're on Facebook and Twitter at @thatthing/ZedGamesAU.
I worry that one day somebody's actually just going to type in that thing. At zedgames.au, you know.
That's all right. We own that thing.
www.thatthingatzedgames.au.
It redirects. It's fine.
Yeah, it's great.
You can also check it out on iTunes. Type Zedgames into iTunes. It should come up, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
You can listen to us again and again and again.
And again.
And again.
And again.
All right. But we'll be back next week at the same time. We have one last song before we go, Jody.
This is Laugh and Beat with Overflowing Emotions.